have to bear with my artistic ability because I do not have any. So, if you'd like to turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 19, we're going to discuss the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. I hope there's something said that'd be beneficial to you in some way. While you're turning there, if you would like to read through parts of that chapter, I encourage you to do so because I'm not going to read it. As a convenience of time, I know a lot of you dads or fathers are going to go home and cook your wife a meal and do the dishes and clean the house and everything else, so I'm not going to keep you very long. Genesis chapter 19 is the story of, talking about this destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. If I can get to Genesis 19, we'll be good. Give you a little bit of a background before we start. Lot, one of the main characters in the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, he was one that was living outside of Sodom. Him and his tents. The reason he was there, him and Abraham had too much cattle, too much, possessions. They were big. There wasn't enough water for their herds. And so they had to split ways. They were somewhere, along the vicinity of, the Dead Sea whenever this occurred, more than likely, on the Israel side of it, somewhere about right in here. This is the Mediterranean. But, originally Abraham's dad and Lot's granddad, they started in Ur, just, in Iraq, followed the Euphrates up and ended up in Haran. And then that's where, their dad passed away. And God presented himself to Abram and he said, leave, go to Canaan. I'll show you the land that I'm going to give you. And so they did just that. They, went by the Sea of Galilee, followed the Jordan River down to the Dead Sea. At that time, there was a famine in the land. And so they kept on going. They ended up in Egypt along the Nile. Stayed there for a little while, and then they went back up to the land of Canaan where they parted ways. And about that time, give you a little bit of a time frame, how long Lot was in Sodom. Abraham was about 75 years old at this time. And whenever we look at chapter 18 in Genesis, God tells Abraham that he is going to destroy Sodom because of its wickedness. And at this time, right before this, he promised him that Sarah is going to have a son. So he's 99 years. So from the time that he was 75 and Lot, at that time when he was 75, that's whenever they split ways. And Lot went to Sodom. So that gives you a little bit of a time frame of how long Lot was in Sodom. It wasn't just that he moved there and the next day God destroys it. But he'd been living there for somewhere close to 20 years. We don't read of Lot having a wife until he was in Sodom. So it's something to take into consideration whenever we're studying this chapter. As it was, God told Abraham, I'm going to destroy Sodom. And at that time, Abraham thought of Lot and he started pleading with him. He said, don't do it. He said, 50 souls is what he starts with. Gets him all the way down to 10. I mean, he's a car salesman now. A little bit more. Come on, a little bit more. We can do this. We can negotiate something out. And he does. He gets him all the way down to 10. He says, for 10 souls, I will not destroy Sodom. And unfortunately, there weren't even 10 souls in Sodom to be spared. But we read through chapter 19 and Lot is sitting at the gates of Sodom and he sees these two angels approach. He takes them into his home. The men of the city try to take them away. He pleads with them not to do that. This was in the evening. By morning, he says, you need to leave Sodom. We're going to destroy it. There will be nothing left. Get out now. And he starts thinking of all of his family. We read about his wife being there. He has two daughters that are not married. He has two daughters that are married and two other sons. So he has his whole family there at Sodom. And he tells them, you know, give me some time. Give me some time. Get all my family out of here. We'll be good. And his son-in-laws wouldn't listen. They stayed. In the end, the angels drug him and his wife and his two daughters out of Sodom, out of the gates, and it was destroyed. And they ended up fleeing to Zoar, which is still a town at the bottom of the Mediterranean, or at the bottom of the Dead Sea. Give you an idea kind of where Sodom and Gomorrah lie. If you look on any maps, you cannot find Sodom and Gomorrah. Whenever God said he was going to destroy them, he destroyed them. He wiped them off the face of the earth. There was nothing left. But the lesson I present to you this morning is going to be over the different people that we find in this chapter. First, we're going to look at the people who lived in the city. Then we'll look at the Lot's son-in-laws, Lot's wife, Lot himself. And who do you see yourself in this story? In Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse number 49, it says, "Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy." Pride, excess of food, abundance of idleness, failure to help the poor and needy. It kind of sounds like he set up camp in the United States to me. I'm just thinking a little bit about all those luxuries that people have. You know, the reason this lesson first came about, I came in from work for lunch, and Brawlin, she just threw a fit. She goes, it's over. It's bad. It's awful. I was like, what happened? She goes, we have Donald Trump is going to be the Republican nominee. And I was like, okay, so we have Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. I was like, this might not be too good. And so we started thinking about countries that were not in a very good state. And for some reason, the town of Sodom and Gomorrah got brought up. And so this is why you have this lesson before you this morning. I don't know, maybe Sodom had mayors like Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, I don't know. But think about those things. Think about helping others and how you can relate Sodom to what we are left to deal with today. Sadly enough, I find a lot of similarities in those two. We have an excess of food. You know, we study an excess of food and having more than what we need. In Luke chapter 12 and verse number 18, you know, there was a certain rich man. He had plenty. He had more than he needed. He's going to tear down his barns and build bigger just so he could keep all the stuff that he had. He said, "Tonight, thy soul will be required of thee." No, in the land of in this Jordan Valley, I pulled up several pictures of it on Google Images just to kind of get an idea of why he chose that particular ground. I mean, if you didn't know exactly what the town was like, if it wasn't the best ground, you'd probably just go ahead and leave. But it was. The Jordan Valley is very well watered. There's a lot of wealth right there just because They do have that water, and they can grow numerous amounts of different crops. They have plenty of water for all their animals. And so it was a good place to go. It was a good place to stay, just because of the terrain and what grew there. And obviously, since Lot had been there in Sodom for so many years, it was worth putting up with the people that were there. They had plenty to help those that were in need, and they didn't. Consider the words in Matthew chapter 25. I'm sorry, I'm skipping ahead. I got too many things to look at. Next we look at pride. Another one that was mentioned in Ezekiel about Sodom. Luke 12:19-21. There we go. Now I'm getting straight. Sorry about that. Matthew 25:34-36. And then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was in hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer, saying, Lord, when we saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of thee, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Continues on, vice versa. You don't do those things. You don't do them unto Christ. Actually, look at the idleness of the people of the town of Sodom. 1 Timothy 5:13 says, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and do not only idle, but tattlers also, busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. Whenever you have a lot of time on your hands, you have a tendency to get into trouble. That's what I've learned with two little boys. Whenever they're not busy doing something, building something with their Legos, if they're left to their own devices, they have a tendency to sometimes get in trouble. Now, leave one of them alone and it's okay. You get two of them together that don't have anything to do but mess stuff up outside. They have a tendency to do it. And they enjoy it. They're just playing. They are busybodies. People of Sodom. They weren't doing what God would have them to do. Next, we're going to look at the Lot's son-in-laws. After the angels came unto him into his house, they told him, get out now. And he pleaded with them to go talk to his son-in-laws, and they granted him that wish. 14, it says, Lot went out and spake unto his son-in-laws, which buried his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-laws. They didn't believe him. They thought that he just showed up and was telling them jokes. He's like, nothing's going to happen. Crazy old man, everything's going to be fine. Let's just stay. And that's what they did. Psalms 14, verse number 1 says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." You know, looking at these men that didn't believe, oftentimes we think of those that we know that don't believe, have a tendency to stay after them for a while and say, you need to consider God, you need to consider Jesus Christ in your life. Where do you stand? And Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23 says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." No, there are several that I met, especially those in the military I met, that they thought they were good just because they knew about God. In the book of James, chapter 2 and verse number 19 says, "Even the devils believe and tremble." Oftentimes we run across people that do believe. I mean, I know a lot of people that believe in God. There's a lot of people that believe in Jesus. But that right there is usually as far as it goes. You know, we try to live a life that God would have us to live, and try to speak to these people, especially in the Bible Belt where we live. It's very common for people to at least have heard about God and heard about Jesus. Very few times do we come across somebody that doesn't, but a lot don't believe that just because they know about Him and they believe in Him that they're saved. Something I'd like you to consider next time you talk to a person like that: the devils also believe, but they tremble. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name hast cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Second Peter 3, verse 3 says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust." Second Thessalonians 1, verse 8 says, "In the flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and they obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Believe that everybody is going to be saved. There's many that believe that everyone's going to heaven. There's even more that believe that there is no hell, which is a very scary thought. You know, what is the purpose of all this if there is no repercussion for your actions as a Christian, for as a human being? If there is no hell, then there's no point in the judgment. Then we all go to heaven. There's many that don't believe that there will be a judgment. They believe once you die, you're in peace. Eternal peace is what you receive when you die. Through the scripture, we realize that we know that there is a hell and there will be a judgment in the last days. We must answer for our actions here on earth. Lot's son-in-law's experienced fire. raining down in Sodom. Encourage you to consider Lot's son-in-laws in your life. Next, we're going to take a look at Lot's wife. Verse number 20 says, "But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt." You know, after 20 years of almost 20 years of being in Sodom, from what we get from the text, we can presume that Lot was single whenever he went to Sodom, that he married his wife there, that they had children, and they grew up in Sodom. They had roots. I mean, this is where they chose to live their lives. She had a reason to look back, didn't she? I mean, that's, her children are back there. Possibly her grandchildren are back there. God told them, the angels did, don't look back. He told them to flee to the mountains. Lot pleaded with them to go to Zoar. It's a close little town. Nearby, they can make it that far. But then afterwards, they continued on and went up into the mountains. He clearly stated, don't look back. And she did. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and the beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? I've known a few people that have, I would say they believed in Jesus Christ, and they come to church and they were doing really, really good. And maybe you know of those people too, that they are just on fire for the Lord. I mean, dove into it head first, and then after a while it kind of fades away. Start getting a little bit of a pull back to the old life that they lived. And the next thing you know, they were back right back to where they began. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 20 and 21 says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse than them than the beginning. For it had been better for them to not have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment." Those verses very well speak for themselves. I wish I could say something else about them, kind of make this lesson flow a little bit smoother, but that's the honest truth. It's better that you have never known than to have known and to turn back. Genesis 13, verse number 9, says, "Is not thy whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou wilt depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left." And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. He chose to go there. You know, in this life, we live with the choices that we make. We have to. I encourage you to always think about the choices that you make in this life and look at what lies around you, what kind of people that you will be dealing with. Now, I always said that the military was probably one of the greatest jobs that you can do for this government, for this country that we live in, is serve them. But I would like to correct myself today, because the situations that environment puts you in as a Christian is not good. You are entangled with a bunch of people who come from all over the world, serve their country, and usually they're between the ages of 18 and 22. Not very mature, wild and crazy is a good way to put it. And I don't know about the rest of the military branches, but from talking to gentlemen that who have served our country, they're all the same. It's wild and it's crazy. You take a bunch of teenagers and very young adults who are allowed to drink alcohol, and you take a bunch of them who are willing to jump out of a perfectly good airplane, they're just a little bit crazy, and you leave them alone of their own devices, it'll be wild and crazy. So I ask you today, what kind of people do you surround yourself with? Are you surrounded by the people that are in this building? Do you surround yourself with people who have foul language? Surround yourself with people who like to drink more than they should. You know, bad communication corrupt good manners, we're told. It says in 2 Peter 2 and verse 7 and 8, it says, "And deliver just lot, vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked, for that the righteous man dwelleth among them, is seeing and hearing, vexed his righteousness soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." Looking at this verse and thinking about the people that he surrounded himself with, it hurt him. Look at the word, looked at vexed. It hurt him. It hurt him to be there. I mean, it hurt his soul. I was start thinking about Sodom and then relating that to this wonderful country that we live in now. You know, killing babies is legal if you consider a baby to be alive once it has its heartbeat, because we pronounce somebody dead whenever their heart stops beating, so shouldn't we pronounce them alive whenever it starts? So we're killing babies. We allow sexual immorality runs rampant in our country. We have a lot of people that are poor and that go hungry. We can't even provide for a lot of our men and women that served in the military that need help. Tell you how far we've come as a great nation. Compare that to Sodom. And I ask you today, does it vex your soul that this is happening? It made Lot sick. He couldn't stand it. What does it do to you to live here in this country that we call is so great? Does it hurt you to see what is going on around about you? Now, I say that and I want to make one point. We live in the Texas Panhandle. The Texas Panhandle is not like a lot of the rest of the world. I said it's a Bible Belt. There are people that kind of have an idea of what is right and wrong morally, but there's a lot that don't. If it's not illegal, it must be right. A while back, I gave a lesson over, I can't think of what the name of it was. We went through a list of things that were evil and wrong. And out of all those things that I mentioned that were in the Bible, there was only one of them that is illegal in the United States, and that's murder. Everything else is legal. It doesn't make it right. What does that do to you? Does it just make you all warm and fuzzy all over? Or does it make you sick to know that this is what our country tolerates? 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 33 says, "Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners." Psalms 1:1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Proverbs 13:20 says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." 2 Corinthians 16:17 says, "Therefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you." It says, "Touch not the unclean things." I don't like to get just too awfully dirty, but unfortunately sometimes I do. But whenever it comes to things of this world, how close do you get to it before you get dirty? I like a glass of wine with a nice thick sirloin. To me, that's living pretty high on the hog. Enjoy it very much. How close is that to becoming an alcoholic? You know, this day I might just have a glass. A week from now I might have two glasses, then three, then four. Next thing you know, the whole bottle's gone. And then I got to run back over to Chug's and get another bottle. And before you know it, I'm an alcoholic. How close do you get to the things that are considered unclean in your life? You know, we don't like homosexuality. We don't like prostitution, idolatry, but yet you turn on the TV and you want to watch a TV show, and that's just about all that it is. You know, I was starting to flip through the channels, and even cartoons, half of them aren't even suited for my children to watch. And yet, I will sit down in front of the TV and watch it day after day after day. And it'll just, it's what you hear. It's what you see. Isn't that the same way with Lot? It's what he saw. It's what he heard day after day, living in Sodom. And it got destroyed. Think about the wickedness of the world whenever Noah was around. 8 souls. Sodom and Gomorrah, 4 souls, 1 looked back, now we're down to 3. The world that you live in today, how many souls will be saved? Who do you see yourself in this story? You see yourself as Lot, someone who lives somewhere where he believes he can make a living, providing for his family. Wickedness surrounds him. I believe that if it weren't for Abraham, Lot, he'd been wiped out with the rest of them. Now, have a home in heaven? I'm sure he would have. The Bible says that he was a just man. I mean, he had Abraham pretty much as his dad. How close do you get to the destruction? Think about the similarities that you can make from this lesson.